I'm speaking to you this morning from the Gospel of John, chapter 9. And in this chapter is a story of the Lord Jesus Christ healing a blind man. There's a great lesson to learn here. The truth is being taught here, and the moral of this story, or the lesson to be learned, is found in the last three verses of John 9. I read to you verses 39 through 41. And the Lord said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." Well, some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." What a lesson to be learned here. If you were blind, he said, you would have no sin. But if you say, "We see," your sin remaineth. Here's the truth. You must be blind to see. You must be dead to be given life. You must be lame to walk. You must be lost to be found. You must be a leper to be cleansed. Now, once you realize this, once you see, once you hear, once you're quickened, made alive by the Spirit of God, then you see, you hear. Do you see? Perhaps not. But here in chapter 9, verse 1, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. He saw this man. This man didn't see him. The man was blind. But the Lord looked upon him. The Lord saw him. The Lord looked upon him in mercy. The Lord set his eye upon this man. The Lord purposed to give this man eyesight. The man couldn't even see the Lord Jesus Christ coming. He didn't know who he was. He couldn't see who he was. He's blind. Now, this is a lesson in the truth, in the gospel. You must be blind to see. If you've never been blind, then you don't see. If you've never been dead, then the Lord hasn't given you eternal life, spiritual life. If you've never been lost, then you are not now found. But the Lord passed by, and he saw this man, which was blind from his birth. Just before this, in chapter 8, the Jews said to him, "You're not 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham?" He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." The Lord Jesus Christ is saying there to these religious Jews, he said, "I am God." He said in another place, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I and the Father are one." You know how few people know that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, is God Almighty. He's the God who created all things. By him all things were created. Without him was not anything made that was made. He's God manifest in the flesh. Most people think he's just a man. But no, this is God with all power. He said that. "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Power over all flesh. He said that in his prayer to the Father in John 17, verse 2, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." If you're dead, you must be given life. If you're blind, you must be given eyes. If you're lost, you must be found. You can't find yourself. If you're lame, you can't walk. You must be given feet. You can't take the step, first step. The Lord must come to you and find you and call you and quicken you and give you eyes and ears to hear and eyes to see. People, someone may say, "Well, why do you say all this? You're always saying this." Why? Because it's true. It's for his glory. Salvation is of the Lord, and it's for his glory. The Jews took up stones to stone him because he said this. But he passed through them, through the midst of them. He passed by. He passed them by. That's his divine prerogative. He saves whom he will. He said, "I am God, and I will show mercy." What wonder that is, that God would have mercy on anyone. But he said, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, not who lets me, but to whom I will show this grace and show this mercy. Salvation's of the Lord, for His glory, for His glory, for His honor. So he passed by these, and in chapter 9 it says, as he passed by, he saw a man. He looked upon this man. He passed by those Pharisees. He passed by those self-righteous, religious people who thought they saw. And he looked upon this man who was blind from birth. That's what it said, blind from birth. Now, all of us are born blind. All of us are born dead in trespasses and sin. All of us are born captive to the God of this world. Salvation is of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the Spirit of God, the God the Father. Salvation's of the Lord. Unless He comes to us, we'll not come to Him. Unless He calls us, we'll not call on Him. Unless He gives us eyes to see, we'll not see Him. Unless He gives us ears to hear, we'll not hear His voice. So the Lord saw this man. He was born blind, as are we. Man is born blind to God, blind to the true God. Our Lord said this in His prayer, again in His prayer, John 17, verse 3. He said, this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Most people are blind to the only true God. Most people believe in a God they've imagined, a God they think God to be. Listen as I read to you from God's Word, as He describes Himself. This is the God of the Bible. This is the true God, the living God. He says in Psalm 50, the mighty God, Almighty, the mighty God, the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun, the going down thereof, predestined, purposed, known unto God all His works from the beginning of the world. He created the world. He owns it. He orders it. He's a judge of it. It does all things according to His will in heaven and in earth. I read on. It says in verse 3, our God shall come and not keep silent. That's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah said the same thing in Isaiah 25. Isaiah said, they will say, this is our God. We've waited on Him. He will save us. In verse 3 of Psalm 50, it says, our God shall come and not keep silent. A fire shall devour before Him. A fire. Hebrews 10:29 says, our God is a consuming fire. Do you know anything about the God who's a consuming fire? Perhaps not, because most false prophets, all false prophets, most preachers today, tell everyone all the time, God loves you. Jesus died for you. And nowhere in the Bible does it say that. No, sir. No prophet ever stood before people and said, God loves you. Smile, God loves you. Nobody ever said that to the people, the general people. No, sir. God is a consuming fire. God is holy. God is righteous. God is just. God will by no means clear the guilty. I read on in Psalm 50. He says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. How many times do you hear these preachers tell you, God needs your money. God needs you to do this for Him, to do that. God has no hands but your hand. That's another God. That's a false God, an impotent God, a helpless God. That's not the God of the Bible. He said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. He said, all the fowls of the mountain, the beasts of the field, the cattle on a thousand hills are mine. God doesn't need your money. He said, all the gold and all the silver and all the mines is mine. This is the God of the Bible. And he said in verse 21 of Psalm 50, he said, thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set these things in order before thine eyes. And he goes on to warn us, consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. My, my, that's the God of the Bible. That's the God who is God. Do you know this God? That's who came. That's who walked this earth. Someone says, no, God is different. God has changed. That's the God of the old Bible. This is the God of the New Testament. He's all love. And no, sir. God said in Malachi 3:6, I'm the Lord, I change not. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same one. The same God in the old is the same God of the new. Always will be. He says, I am that I am. He doesn't change. Well, here in John 9, He came to this man, and his disciples asked him, "Lord, Master, who did sin that this man was born blind? His parents or him? Who sinned?" And our Lord said in verse 3, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him." Neither. That is, God purposed this. God purposed all things. He says, "I kill, I make alive, I wound, I heal. I, the Lord, do all these things." He is God. Nothing is by chance. Nothing is happening of its own free will. No, God worketh all things after the counsel of his will. I can hear the argument now. Well, then, what does it matter? That's what they said to Paul in Romans 9. Well, who can resist his will? If everything's according to God's will, then what will be, will be. But Paul said, "Oh man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed me, why have you made me this way? Hath not the potter power over the clay to make of one lump a vessel of honor and a vessel of dishonor?" Yes, he does. He has that power. That's his prerogative. God giveth not an account of his matters to any man. Just know this, the judge of the earth doth right. He does what is right. Well, they said, "Who did sin?" He said, "Neither. This is for the glory of God." In verse 4, the Lord said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Christ came to do a work sent by God to do the work of salvation. Salvation is not your work. It's not a cooperative effort between God and man. It's God's work. Salvation's of the Lord. Salvation's of God. God the Father chose a people. God the Son came to redeem those people. God the Holy Spirit regenerates them, calls them, quickens them, gives them repentance and faith, and causes them to come to Christ, and gives them a new nature. Salvation is of the Lord. Christ said as a 12-year-old boy, "I must do the works. I must do my Father's business." On the cross, he said, "It's finished." The works sent by him are works of salvation. He said, "As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world." He's the light. There is no light apart from Jesus Christ. So when he had thus spoke, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. If you ever see, it's going to be from the mouth of the Lord. It's going to be from his word. It's going to be the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that opens your blind eye, that quickens your dead soul, gives you a new life, a new spirit, new heart, new mind. Eyes to see yourself, eyes to see the truth, eyes to see the sin that's within you, eyes to see your need of Christ, ears to hear his blessed truth and believe it, a heart to receive it. So that came from his mouth, and he anointed the eyes of this man and said, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sense. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Our Lord told his disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Why does someone believe? It's not of themselves, it's the gift of God. But the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And he sends his preachers out with the gospel, and they preach, and they tell men, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." The Spirit of God moves on them, gives them a heart to believe, and they confess him in believer's baptism. Salvation is of the Lord. Do you see? Do you understand this? May the Lord give you an understanding. Till next Sunday, good day.